Hi, friends. I just love this medium of podcasting. It's kind of weird if you don't, because you're listening to one right now when there's lots of other fun things to do. But I'm glad you're here nonetheless. Podcast lovers and podcast not so sure's alike. It's a little late where I am. It might be morning where you are. I have a drink in hand. I'm trying to drink less alcohol these days. Been substituting with tea, and that's been really successful. I followed the advice of, I think it's Charles Duhigg in The Power of Habit, where if you want to quit something or build a new habit, then figure out what your triggers are and come up with some sort of substitute. A replacement routine really helps, and I have reduced my alcohol intake by a lot. Not that I was a complete lush before, but it's worked. So try it out wherever you are. My voice is also a little bit hoarse because I am coaching not one, not two, but three kids' soccer teams. I was joking around to a friend the other day that I'm even open to adopting new kids so that I can coach more soccer teams. All in jest, of course, but I have not been yelling at children. I've been yelling with them. Maybe I want to win more than they do. I'm a little hoarse. So either that's a bad thing and my voice will heal, or listeners will tell me that this raspy, smoky quality is endearing and let me know on Instagram, and maybe I'll just yell at some more kids on the soccer field and we'll just keep this thing going. I hope you enjoyed the last episode, Getting Naked with Will Branham, as much as I did. It was a real pleasure to catch up with my former teammate and longtime brother from the teams. I really appreciated how vulnerable Will got on the program. I think it's easy from the outside to assume that anyone you look up to, whether that be a SEAL, an astronaut, whatever, is somehow superhuman and that they don't put on their pants one leg at a time. I can't remember the quote from that cowbell scene in SNL. It's something like that. The Christopher Walken character, who's amazing. Christopher Walken's amazing, not just that character, but you get where I'm going. Will opened up about tons of things, such as how he didn't really want to be a leader ever, and then ended up leading SEALs in combat. Meanwhile, he talked a lot about imposter syndrome, and that's something that everyone feels, no matter what. Even SEALs in the SEAL teams can feel imposter syndrome. Even MBA students at Harvard Business School can feel imposter syndrome, on and on and on. The key is recognizing that and how we all get over it. I don't have any great tips on how to get over it, except to increasingly give fewer F's about the situation you are in. However you can do that, sometimes it can be helpful to think about what the worst case scenario is if you screw up. Usually, it's not that bad. We all have a tendency to protect our egos from making even that first mistake, though. Because once you make some mistakes in whatever domain you're in, then it's easy to get in the groove of making mistakes and understanding that the world isn't going to end. But whenever we get in a new situation, we want to protect ourselves. It's just natural. And even for many of us who have been in new situations time and time and time again, it's a matter of course when you're in the military that you're always the new guy somewhere every 2 years. We end up protecting this little child, this sensitive being inside our minds, inside our hearts, because we don't want people to think less of us. We are social animals after all. But the worst thing that can happen usually isn't that bad. It's nowhere near as bad as those few mortifying experiences that everyone has in childhood and adolescence that somehow make people naturally fearful once they become grown adults. I like to think of it as a learning vehicle. there's no way we all can learn without making mistakes. There's plenty of documentation on this that is quite literally how you progress. So if you're really worried about protecting your ego, protecting others' impressions of you, then you should be doing everything you can to improve. Protecting your ego is quite the opposite of that, because you will not improve your skills. Will and I also talked a lot in that episode about the transition from the military. And even if you're not in the military, it still applies to you. Transition from some sort of high performing team, or maybe even it can be applicable to people just out of college where you're on top of the world as that senior. You know where everything is. You've got your set of friends and you're achieving. And then you go out in the real world and then you have to figure out how to play this new game. A lot of us have struggles, especially when you're in some sort of elite team or you have achieved some sort of mastery of a domain. To get to something new can often be hard. A lot of lessons translate. Many don't, especially when other people don't understand what you are bringing to the table. Will mentioned finding your team. It goes back to that Jim Rohn quote about the five people around you really influencing what you can achieve and how you identify. Going back to that substitution of tea for alcohol, often, I would suggest that we all try and clear the clutter in our minds and create systems and an environment like James Clear, the blogger, talks about. We've talked about him before. Make it so hard to screw up and get off the path to where you want to go. Come up with little tricks to keep yourself honest, whether that be partnering with a friend to go to the gym or other such hacks. There was a great Medium article I read several months ago. I can't find it. I searched a bunch. I can't find it. But it was something to the effect of quitting all the porn in your life. And the concept of the article, some people call that conceit. I don't really like that. I'm not a big fan of that use of the word. The concept of the article was to define all sorts of things as porn, whether that be checking your phone all the time, social media, reading blog posts about that thing you want to do that you're never going to do, et cetera, et cetera. And maybe there was even a section on relationships of some sort that weren't productive. And the author's call to action was for all of us to quit all of that porn in our lives. I think that could be super useful, especially some sort of digital diet. I might go on a digital fast sometime soon. And of course, as we've talked about here on the program too, gaining perspective is often achieved through travel. Do whatever you can to get there. One thing I'll leave you with is this concept of ikigai. I believe it's Japanese. I started learning Japanese at some point at the Naval Academy. It's one of the many things that I learned about 5% of the way. Trust me, I did learn some other things 100% of the way, but I'm the king of learning things 5%, and Japanese is one of them. So I am less than 5% certain that ikigai is Japanese. No, in all seriousness, this, the concept of ikigai is this system of picking a thing you want to do. I suppose you could also apply it to a company, although I've seen it applied mostly to individuals. You intersect four circles. Those circles are what you're good at, what you love, what the world needs, and what you can be paid for. The intersections of the circles, so each set of two circles creates an intersection. So with four circles, you still have four intersections with the ones that are next to each other. So What you're good at and what you love, that equals passion. What you love and what the world needs, that's mission. What the world needs and what you can be paid for, that's a vocation. And what you can be paid for and what you're good at, that is a profession. And then when you intersect passion, mission, vocation, profession, you get ikigai. It's some sort of singularity on a personal productivity level. I think there is some validity to this, despite how much passion is derided in the current sphere. I think we'll probably come full circle in about 10 years where everyone is truly trying to find their passion again and where they don't have to be embarrassed about that. But when you encounter some of those struggles, like the ones we talked about on the last episode with Will, having that ikigai, having something that you're passionate about, that has a mission, that is a vocational pursuit, and that is a profession where you can reap those rewards, where you have that upside. Will mentioned kind of joy plus service, I think. At least that's what I wrote down. And I think that can be useful for all of us to have in our back pocket. Edmund Hillary, as many listeners will know, he, along with Tenzing Dorje, was the first person, or first couple. I don't know if they refer to themselves as a couple. Probably not, although I believe they were good friends up until one or both of them died. I know Hillary passed away several years ago. I'm assuming, based upon the dates, that Tenzing passed away as well. Edmund Hillary has a lot of great quotes. I heard one the other day, and it got me thinking that he's super relevant to all the things we're talking about today. One thing I didn't know is that Edmund Hillary wasn't the leader of the expedition. A gentleman named John Hunt, I believe, a colonel, and was later knighted along with Hillary. John Hunt led the expedition, and because Hillary and Tenzing Dorje were so fit, in Hillary's words. He uses that phrase a ton in an interview on YouTube. They were so fit compared to everyone, so strong, that they were selected to summit the mountain. And I guess I don't have any reason to doubt him. They were, after all, selected, and they did a feat that even today, what, only a few thousand maybe have done? I mean, they make it seem like child's play today. I'm sure it's still not. I haven't done it, so I will not deride anyone who's climbed Everest by any means. But there's still not that many of them in actuality. Edmund Hillary quite obviously had a level of perseverance that most people do not have. He had a level of courage in the face of adversity that most people do not have. A lot of people like to paint the picture of a mountaineer as someone who is fearless and will risk everything all the time. And there certainly are those people. Like, there's that tightrope walker dude in that documentary, which is amazing. I wish I could recall it right now. I will link to it in the show notes. I mean, that guy seems crazy to me. Maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, it sure did seem like he was still nervous before his performances, or performance isn't even the right word, his death-defying feats. The tightrope walker, not Hillary, but still. Edmund Hillary and folks like him have a lot that the rest of us, even those of us who have done pretty elite and otherwise scary and amazing things, can still learn from. There's a saying in the teams, earn your trident every day. And I really try and keep that to heart. Because if you don't do that, then it's easy to grow weak. Same with your character. If you don't keep putting bricks in the wall of your character, it's easy for it to slip away. It's easy for you to rationalize bit by bit, giving in on that. I suppose that perseverance in the face of adversity and a lot of the concepts that Will and I talked about come down to, what is your motivation? Edmund Hillary, this isn't a Mark Twain wordsmith quote, but he said, I think it all comes down to motivation. If you really want something, you will work hard for it. It's so plain and simple. It sounds stupid. It almost sounds like an SNL skit, but it's entirely true, right? No, none of us can doubt the truth of that statement. Edmund Hillary also used to talk about how even in his old age, whenever he would see a mountain with a little patch of snow in a high mountain gully, in his words, he'd feel the same urge to climb towards it as he did when he was a young man. Ultimately, we need to be able to master ourselves in all things, and that will help us achieve what we want to achieve. How we pick that thing we want to achieve is up to us. No one can give that to us, but that system of Ikigai can help us find that. And then we need to create that burning desire that Will had to blow stuff up and all sorts of other fun things. Create that burning desire for yourself. Maybe it's not a sport, which is easy to get excited about. Maybe it's not Fortnite champion. Again, easy to get excited about. Maybe it's not blowing up things, but I have found that we can create that burning desire within. Because you know what? When you're cold and wet and sandy on a beach in Coronado, you're not thinking about blowing up things. That sort of Rambo fantasy, that thing is long gone. You're not motivating yourself by that anymore. You're motivating yourself by some sort of fire that is inside you and some sort of, not to sound cheesy, but an indomitable will. That you will not be broken, that you will not quit, that you're not going anywhere. The word quit isn't even in your vocabulary. It's about the challenge, the mere obstacle in front of you. One of Edmund Hillary's most famous quotes is, "It is not the mountain we conquer, but ourselves." See you soon. Rainiac Productions. If you like The Warrior Poet, there's more great content on Instagram. Follow Shri, The Warrior Poet, on Instagram. That's S-R-I, The Warrior Poet. You can also get to know me on a personal level by following Shri, actually, on Instagram as well. The Warrior Poet is produced by Laddie, with special contributions by Spoonman and me, Shri.
No, 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 no. Kevin, me no do it. Spita.